This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
3291. Work on your degree while you work.
Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only.
Morgan & Morgan, dial #529 on your cell phone. Pound law, that's all.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with special guest host Jessica Benson from Local 24 Sports.
Pony, let the spinning wheel spin.
All right, Jeffrey, let's get to Chris Harrington.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m. Brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas White & Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Chris, what are we listening to here this morning?
That is a spinning wheel from 70s quasi-classic rockers, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. A song my middle school music teacher used to play all the time, so it's never left my head. But that's in reference to Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. A week ago, foul trouble was going to ruin Jaren Jackson Jr.'s career, and now he looks back to normal. And Ja Morant has shot 5 of 25 from the floor since the Grizzlies compared him to Michael Jordan.
Is the curse real? The Michael Jordan too early compare? I mean, I know we weren't literally calling Ja Morant Michael Jordan, but the stats happened to line up. What is it about Ja? We'll start there. 5 of 25, like you said, in his last two games. Granted, he sat out a game in between those, and we should probably start with Jaren, but we'll just start with Ja because it went into that.
Right. Well, you know, Orlando, while not a good team, is a good defense. They were a top five defense going into that game. And the Spurs have good defensive guards, like DeJounte Murray, their starting point guard, is already made an all-NBA defensive team and will probably make multiple ones again. He's probably one of the best backcourt defenders in the league. So, like, the opponents have something to do with it. But also, I just think he was not – Ja Morant is barely 20 years old. He's a rookie point guard. He's super talented. He's going to be a multi-time all-star, I think. But I think what happens early in the – when things happen early in an NBA season, people take them as new normals and not just a small sample. If you have a great three-game stretch in the middle of the season, people don't assume that's what you are. If you have a bad three-game stretch in the middle of the season, people sort of take it as a slump instead of like this is what you are. And so I think the we came out of Ja's week last week thinking, well, he's going to do this every night. He was never going to do that every night. As good as he is, he's going to have ups and downs in this rookie season. And he just had a down.
Ja, you mentioned barely 20 years old. Jaren, barely 20 years old, too. He gets that clutch three taken away last night, but that was the only little sliver of bad. It was his best game of the season. Ja, after the game, said Jaren was back to playing with that bop. And it certainly looked that way. It looked like Jaren Jackson Jr. was having fun playing basketball last night. What were your takeaways on his performance?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that I think the foul trouble and also his sort of struggle to adapt to a new offense and new teammates and a new pace and just all the newness around him. He was having the early foul trouble and he wasn't getting the ball in good situations. And I think both of those things were sort of sapping his spirit on the floor. I think everyone could see that. Just sort of the frustration. He wasn't playing with that sort of joy, that sort of like bouncy teenage joy he had for a lot of last season. And so, you know, I think it seemed like they've made a point to, you know, these last two or three games to get him the ball more, even if it means throwing it into the post, which is not the kind of offense Taylor Jenkins has preached. But when you have Jaren Jackson and Jonas Valanciunas as probably two of your three best players, like maybe you should do that a little bit. And so I think getting Jaren the ball in good spots and him having success, I think, you know, he's built on that, fed on that. And last night is what we expect to see from him. That is the idea of the guy who can score in the post and step out and make threes on the offensive end and then play good defense. That is why he can be special, is that sort of versatility to his game. And so what we saw last night is sort of the Jaren Jackson we expect to see. We're not going to see it every night, but that is what – that can become more frequent over time.
With the Grizzlies getting their first road win of the season and doing it in San Antonio on Tony Parker jersey retirement night, no less.
How about that?
That just felt right, right? I mean, it was like, you know, Tony Parker's ruined things for them. They come back and get their own.
It doesn't quite make up for, like, getting swept in a conference finals, but, like, you take what you can get, right?
When you weigh those, one weighs a little bit more. But if you can get something, it's better than nothing. How was last night just an example of what this team can really grow into? I mean, they're young. There's going to be – you talk about taking things as the new normal. I wouldn't say they're going to come out and play every game like they just played against the Spurs last night. But how is it an example of what they can become and what they're on their way to becoming?
Well, if they can get – you know, last night, it wasn't just Jaren. Jonas Valanciunas had one of his better games of the season. Brandon Clark was really good off the bench. And, I mean, you could argue that that's three of their four best players, potentially. Certainly three of their five or six best players. I mean, the talent on that team is tilted towards the front court in a league that's trending more towards guards. And so they just have to get those bigs involved consistently. And I think if they can find a way to consistently get their big men involved, I think they can be a much more competitive team. Like, they're still, I mean, it's going to be, it'll be very surprising if this team won more than 30 games this season. So, I mean, it is what it is. But Jaren Jackson's 20, and John Morant is 20, and Brandon Clark's 23, and Jonas Valanciunas is only 26. And so, like, that is a foundation for what can be a competitive team, you know, in the not-too-distant future. And if Jaren and Ja are what everyone thinks they're going to be and what I think they're going to be, could be a real contender, you know, a few years down the line. But I do think this team should be capable of playing more competitive basketball. Not every night on the road, but I think you should have more games that are up for grabs in the fourth quarter, and you have games where you're going to run off the floor, which is what we've seen previously in those road games.
Brandon Clark is all those Brandon Clark early season stands, the pre-draft early truthers. They're looking pretty smart. Comes off the bench last night, 14 points, 8 rebounds. He actually leads all NBA rookies in rebounds right now. Are we talking about Brandon Clark enough? And just what is it that has been so impressive with him through these first 10 games of the season?
Well, I mean, I think shooting. I mean, I think that was the big mystery with him,
right,
was shooting. And not only is he making threes to some degree, percentage-wise, it's probably still nothing special, but he's more of a threat than he looked like at college. That's impressive. But to me, the consistency of him hitting those little free throw line jumpers, because he can get to that spot and get that shot whenever he wants, because he just elevates, like, you know, straight up to the moon, basically. And so that's a shot he can get. And if he can make that shot consistently, like, that's the kind of safety valve in an offense. Like, yeah, you want threes and shots at the rim, but you can't get that all the time. And so if you have a guy who can get that shot whenever he wants and hit it the way he's been hitting it, that really raises, to me, his offensive ceiling. And in terms of, you know, rebounding, I think he was a great rebounder in college, but he is 6'8 with short arms. And so you don't know, you can't be certain how some of that's going to translate to the NBA until it translates to the NBA. And so the idea that, you know, people have asked me, like, you know, in terms of a new core forward, could Brandon Clark be that level of player? And to me, when you ask that question, you're basically asking, can he be an elite role player? Like, Tony Allen was an elite role player. Tony Allen was not an all-star, but he counted as a core player because he was so great as a role player. And I do think Brandon Clark has that ability to be, you know, a core player, even if he's not a 20-point a game, he's not an all-star, to just, you know, in terms of the impact he makes on the floor with what he does. And the idea that you can get that guy in the 20s, I think it's something people should be thrilled about.
And he is shooting 42% from 3, 5 of 12. And I remember Mark Few, actually, listening to an interview with Mark Few right after the Grizzlies had drafted him, and he said he thought that Brandon Clark could become a more consistent three-point shooter, more than what he was being given credit for maybe going into the draft. So interesting to see how that's played out. Taylor Jenkins is 100% on coaches' challenges. But does Taylor Jenkins understand the coach's challenge is the question here.
I have mixed feelings on this myself because I actually don't like added complication to game flow. And so the idea that he would be like the conscientious objector and just never do it, like I was sort of into that idea, like I am going to protest this all season. That clearly wasn't the case. It just wasn't for whatever reason. Maybe as a new head coach, you got so much else swimming in your head. You forget about like you have this little buzzer next to you or whatever. You know, he finally used it last night, and it was helpful to them. But I think, you know, people, you know, the game broadcast and fans watching from home, at least on social media, were all screaming for him to use it when Tyus Jones got called for a phantom foul, what ended up being a four-point play. And I do think he should have used it there. He saved the Grizzlies 2 points there at the end. He could have saved them 4 points earlier. They win the game, so it doesn't matter. But if they lose that game by 1 or 2 points, and he hadn't used that challenge on the 4-point play, it would be a topic today.
Did you see the video after the game of Pop saying hi to Kyle Anderson? And by hi, I mean saying in the nicest way he could, just a nice little casual "f you," you know, like in a friendly way.
I missed that because as soon as the game ended, I had to flip over to Bluff City Law.
That's fair. And we're gonna get to that.
So no, I missed that.
So after the game, so there was just a nice video of Pop essentially just calling Kyle over and saying, "Hey, Kyle, F you," and then giving a Pop smile and giving him a hug. It was a loving moment between a coach and his former.
Well, we do have those Spurs connections. I mean, Taylor Jenkins is Spurs tree and Kyle Anderson's Spurs tree. Of course, at this point, every team in the NBA is like has Spurs fingerprints on them pretty much.
Constant 7 degrees of separation, 6 degrees of separation. So you mentioned you had to dash and watch Bluff City Law. I have to ask, did they defy all odds and figure out a way to defeat the NCAA?
They were not quite as ripped from the headlines as they might have been. I mean, that's what happens when you film the show, like, you know, 2 months ago.
Months before.
They had already taken on the NCAA a few weeks ago, and so they moved on to national security concerns, as small law firms in Memphis tend to do this week. But they did triumph over the Department of Defense, if that gives you any hope of their ability to later conquer the NCAA.
What were the Memphis moments from the show? What places did they go to?
The new locations, we saw a lot of repeats. The new locations, there was a lot of stuff filmed on the pedestrian bridge that goes to Mud Island, you know, above where the monorail used to run and no longer does.
Okay.
A location made famous on the screen by Tom Cruise in The Firm once. So there was a few scenes there. There was a scene at the James Lee House in Victorian Village, which is one of, you know, the old houses in, you know, Victorian Village, which is now a bed and breakfast. And that became what I called an old Coops Club. It was a bunch of old men sitting around smoking cigars, and that was a location. And there were some other street scenes, some strolls down around North Main. Sydney had a moment of crisis at Civic Center Plaza in front of City Hall at night, so you got that. There was a lot of stuff on that little side stoop at their offices. So, you know, it wasn't as Memphis heavy as maybe some episodes have been, but you had some new stuff.
So I admittedly, I have 4 episodes of Bluff City Law sitting in my DVR at home. And I know, like, this makes me a bad Memphian, a bad supporter of the show, at least. So what would be your pitch to someone like me who maybe watched the show early, kind of tapered off of it? Should I come back to this show, I guess, is the question I'm asking you.
Oh, I think you should. I mean, you get on DVR, you can forward through the commercials, you can get through it pretty quick. I just think seeing, it's not only that the city is on the screen, but the city is, like, there have been shows shot here that weren't set here, and so, like, it is, like, I'm into this idea of, like, Memphis has been reflected through on the screen, and it sort of adds to that store of images that you have. I do think, as critical as I've been of the show and the writing, and I'm not particularly interested in the legal stuff in the show, I don't think it's very good, I do think the cast is pretty good. I think this cast and this setting could be a good show, and maybe better hands. And so I think you have some likable, attractive actors, like, hanging out at Memphis locations, and, like, I don't know. There's a better way to spend there are worse ways to spend 45 minutes if you forward it through the commercials.
I think I'm going to give it back. So I have one other show that really built up in my DVR, which was All American on CW30, which was a show about a high school football player in California. And I officially let that one go. But
I have a hard time watching more than one television show at a time.
See, I watch too many shows.
I'm watching two now because I'm doing Bluff City Law for work, and I'd be watching anyway because of Memphis. But I have a hard time keeping up with more than one show at a time myself.
Well, and this time of year, all the shows are back. So I have
right.
I have a very heavy TV show lifestyle. I love TV, so I watch a ton of TV. So unfortunately, Bluff City Law.
What's your favorite right now?
My favorite right now, well, that's a tough question. I just finished the Righteous Gemstones on HBO, which I would recommend to everybody and their mother. It was a fantastic show. But then, you know, I keep with the shows I've watched forever, How to Get Away with Murder, Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
I'm waiting for Mrs. Maisel to come back.
That's
one of my absolute favorites. My fiance and I are trying to get through Fleabag, which has been really popular and swept a bunch of the awards show, life and all that jazz. It's good. I've actually watched it once and I'm trying to rewatch it with him. I like it better the second time. I would not recommend it.
So you've seen season two of Fleabag already?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched the whole thing through. If you're listening to this.
I think Fleabag's my favorite culture I've experienced this year.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's the general perception of it. I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention enough for the first time around that I watched it, but I am enjoying it more round two. And it's nice because they're like 20-minute episodes, so you can
Yeah, there is that. I mean, they're very snackable.
What's the second show you're watching?
My wife and I just finished watching Unbelievable.
Oh, it's
Netflix,
fantastic. That was great.
Which is great. The first episode's rough, like in a good way, in a purposeful way, but it is pretty rough. But I think the rest of that show is really great.
Absolutely.
And I'm currently watching The Watchmen, Watchmen on HBO, which I think is really good, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend widely to people. You sort of have to be, you have to want to see what it is. Basically, it's not really for everybody.
Yeah. The thing with Unbelievable, that first episode, I was watching it at home. I was actually visiting my mom back in Seattle, and I had heard good things about the show, and I pulled it up to watch with her. And after the first episode, she was ready to give it up. She was like, I'm not sure this is the show for me. And I said, no, I promise, just make it through the next one. And now she goes around telling all her friends, have you watched Unbelievable? I swear to you, she has texted me three times in the past 2 weeks saying, what was that show called on Netflix? Unbelievable. So now she shares it with everyone. That was good.
What people should know about that show is there's sort of a mystery procedural element to it, but that doesn't really start until the second episode.
Yes, and so it takes the entire first episode to kind of build you into the world that they are going to be talking about for the rest of this thing. Quickly going back to the Grizzlies before we let you go, they are in Charlotte on Wednesday as this season slowly progresses 10 games in. I don't know, are the Grizzlies performing at a rate that you thought they would be at? We've touched on the fact that, you know, they're probably not going to win more than 30 games. But in terms of their progression and growth up to this point, do you think they've hit that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are individual things that have been better than expected or could be expected, and there are individual things that have been worse. But it's added up to a team performance that I think is pretty much in line with what reasonable expectations were. You know, to be 3-7 on the really the only team that in the Western Conference that came into the season knowing that it couldn't really compete for the playoffs. When you have the youngest foundation in the league, like no other team has their two best players are as young as John Morant and Jaren Jackson. And so I think in terms of team performance, they're basically what they were supposed to be. And there are like some things that have gone better and some things that have gone worse. But I think generally, I mean, the most important thing was you wanted John Morant to look like he can be as good as you thought he can be. And he has. And so to me, it's been a good start in that context. I think they basically, team-wise, they've sort of performed to par.
Chris, I do have to say before I let you go, I have been listening to you on this show since I moved to Memphis, and your music selection at the top of every one of these, I have downloaded probably maybe 50% of the songs you share, so I really appreciate your contribution to my music library continuing to grow. I had to tell you while I had you.
Well, you have been a great addition to this show every week, and it's nice to talk to someone who, like, you know, is engaged with the world beyond you know, Jeff's a little lost when you get off the sports topic. So it's good to talk some TV with you.
Oh, good. I'm glad we can continue. I'll try to find some new shows coming out. I'm really excited for The Crown Season 4 is coming out at the end of this month. So that'll be my next big one to share with the world. Chris, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jessica.
That was Chris Harrington joining us. Fresh off the Grizzlies' first road win of the season. Is it their only road win of the season? I mean, probably not their only, but one of a few. So when we come back, we are going to be talking with Tom Yeager, former commissioner of the Colonial and one-time chair of the NCAA Committee on Infractions. He's going to give kind of just a wider view of what this means from the NCAA side of things, which I know is not always the popular side of things, the court of public opinion on the NCAA these days. I like to say ratings are at an all-time low. They're not doing great, but this is still the governing body, and this is still the group that will eventually be making decisions on, you know, James Wiseman. If they are not making it specifically on James Wiseman, they'll at least be making it on the University of Memphis, given their decision to continue playing James Wiseman. So we'll talk to Tom Yeager when we come back. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, so every store will tell you they got great customer service, great selection, low, low prices, blah, 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 blah. Robert Irwin Jewelers has all of those things. But what makes them different? Well, first they got Howie. And let's be honest. At this point, I almost feel like I do know Howie, and you should feel like you know Howie. When Jeffrey went and bought his ring there, it's because he felt like he knew Howie, and he said it was an unrivaled experience. They also have the perfect ring guarantee. That means you go ahead, pick the diamond, pick the setting. They put together the perfect ring for you. If you want to return it within a year, you can. Second, you can trade up. If your ship comes in, you decide you want a bigger, brighter diamond, even bigger and brighter, you can trade up for as little as just the difference. You pay the difference between them. They will match all prices on GIA loose diamonds. They've got the perfect diamond for you no matter the budget. And they also have lab-grown diamonds, if that's what you want. Robert Irwin Jewelers, bigger, brighter diamonds. Go to any of their four locations or check them out online at rijewelers.com.
This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years, one of the best clothing stores in the United States of America. It's where I get my suits for television work with CBS Sports. It's also where I get my custom-made stance shirts, and now it's where I get my custom-made stance pants because, yes, James Davis now has custom-made stance pants, and here to tell us about them is Rob Joyner from James Davis.
Gary, we've been talking for months about stance custom shirts, three measurements, 150 try-ons for the perfect fit shirt. Now, Stant and James Davis have the perfect fit pant. Three measurements, 90 try-ons, and done. Custom fit. We can adjust waist, seat, pant, leg for the most comfortable and best fitting pant on the planet. You choose five pocket, jean style, dress pant, many, many fabrics. It's amazing. You have to try a pair to believe it. Starting at $168 and a two-week delivery.
Trust me, you'll love these pants when you get these pants. We have one of the best clothing stores in the country right here in Memphis. You'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. It's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Downtown Dining Week celebrates its 11th anniversary November 11th through 17th. Join Memphis's most popular dining experience for a week of great eats at prices that can't be beat. 60 downtown restaurants are offering three-course dinners for just $20.19 and lunch specials for $10.19. Restaurants like Barware, Sage, Grecian Gourmet, Aldo's, Hugh, Felicia Suzanne's, Majestic Grill, and many more. Go to downtownmemphis.com or visit on Facebook for more info. Sponsored by Coppola Winery, Herradura Tequila, Tanqueray, and your local distillery, Old Dominic.
Hey Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Old Man Winter is knocking on the door. Make sure your furnace is ready. Right now, get a furnace tune-up for $49, and if you know it's time for a new one, we can install a high-efficiency Trane system for as little as $130 a month. Call us today for an appointment, 624-1401. That's 624-1401. When it comes to your comfort, you deserve the best.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's sports station.
You can't argue the way that the NCAA behaved is appropriate, the way that they changed their mind or the way that they did it the last minute or the way that they're not telling them what the punishment will be or whatever else. But on the merits of the case, it's a much closer call than the Derrick Rose one. Shirley Raines is not a fighter. They did not have a fighter in place then. Now they have a fighter as a basketball coach, and they have a fighter as a president.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis versus the NCAA. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I wonder what it's like to know that I made the rain.
All right, we have got a completely different take on the James Wiseman scenario at Memphis that you have not heard all week. You have heard from Wiseman's lawyers. You have heard from Memphis basketball, their subtle statements, their official statements from the university. And you've had a brief statement from the NCAA. But aside from that, you haven't really heard from them, and in these cases, you typically do not. So the next guest on today's show, you may not know his name, but I'm here to tell you all about him. Tom Yeager, he was the longest tenured commissioner of any D1 conference when he retired from the Colonial back in 2016, 30 years as a commissioner. He also has a deep history in enforcement, and he worked for the NCAA enforcement offices as a commissioner. He actually served at one time as the chair of the NCAA's Committee on Infractions, which is the group that hears and assesses penalties for NCAA rules violations. So basically, he has been there. He has done that. He is a great, great guy for coming on with us today. Tom, thank you so much for coming out of your retired life to give a little perspective from someone who knows the NCAA side of all of this.
Well, thank you, Jess. Look forward to trying to shed some light on whatever questions you may have.
Absolutely. So let's just dive right in here. I think first and foremost, some Memphis fans have this very distorted view that there are just a bunch of suits in Indianapolis who are, you know, sitting around twiddling their thumbs, plotting how to bring down schools, particularly not named Kentucky. I think that's how Memphians might feel. So as someone who understands that that's not what's going on, and as someone who has been on the inside, who personally served on the Committee on Infractions, who is this group of people, and what do they do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, like you say, the staff that are out in Indianapolis are very qualified, energetic folks. I think you'd be surprised that they, a lot of them pretty young folks, and as well as some experienced people. All of them are tremendously qualified. You stack up their resumes. A number of them are attorneys. It's a first-class group, and likely, and also they answer on in the committee structure to professionals that are at the member institutions and the conference that have bring similar, very prominent credentials to any kind of discussion. So, you know, and there's always the ebb and flow. You're there trying to maintain order throughout college athletics, and there's no sacred cow list. There's no, hey, we're going to get these guys. We like these guys. We don't like these guys. None of that really exists.
Now, the whole reason that I originally thought of having you come on today, because as of yesterday, you know, there was still some level of confusion about what the NCAA knew when they made their initial ruling back in May versus what they know now that they've come back 6 months later, alerted Memphis that James is likely ineligible. Does it normally take new information or a whistleblower type situation to change something like that? Or is the NCAA just constantly checking in on eligibility on their own throughout the year?
Well, I'm, you know, again, I've since we talked briefly yesterday, I had a little chance to look at some of the statements and going back, and particularly the one that the University of Memphis issued. You know, there's a process early on that talks about the academic, well, the eligibility clearinghouse and the professionalism clearinghouse. And, you know, that's a form that is handled, you know, by the institution. The staff that looks at that are just looking at what's on that form, and a lot of it's not very in-depth. So I don't know if that's the, quote, clearing, you know, the said he was eligible. You know, if all the boxes were checked, somebody would say yes. But then, you know, there's a more in-depth, you know, analysis that can go on. There can be some more information that comes to light. You know, likely, you know, I've seen those forms. They're the amateurism clearinghouse, unless there's a red flag on that material, no one's going to see it. And it's similar to, you hear it a lot on the academic side. You know, test scores go in, transcripts go in. People are just looking at the boxes checked. And, yes, but sometimes there's a story behind that. So I know there's been some sense that this thing is kind of a reversal or changing your mind. I don't know what that original, hey, everything okay, really was and what information was there. But the NSA wouldn't, you know, if everything that's known now was known then, I don't think, you know, they wouldn't be reopening a new fire here. You know, that's, so there's a little confusion, I think, in my own mind, Jess, about exactly what, you know, what this May 2019 clearance was.
And I think that's a little bit of the confusion throughout this, and Wiseman's attorneys have laid out their status of, you know, everything was known then and within their lawsuit. Maybe the idea of Penny Hardaway being a booster is the one thing. I read through the entire lawsuit finally myself yesterday. I guess moving as they move forward with this, now that James Wiseman is continuing to play and seeking this injunction, what is the process like for the NCAA as this case moves forward?
Well, obviously, it'll be working, as I presume the university will too, to resolve the litigation that's involved in the temporary restraining order. That's not uncommon. You know, haven't seen it much in the last 20 years or so, but it used to be a regular occurrence where there'd be injunctions thrown down all the time. And, you know, if that ultimately, and depending on how it is ultimately resolved, if it's resolved in the young man's favor, no harm, no foul. If it's not, then there's some question then about just what are the facts, and those need to be evaluated and handled and whatnot. It appears that from the university statement that they were saying we were going to withhold the young man, but for the temporary restraining order. So, you know, this is really between, you know, the young man and his attorneys, certain degree of the university and the NCAA should be on the same side.
You mentioned, and we talked about this when we spoke yesterday, but everyone keeps saying how unprecedented this is. A player, and yes, the circumstances here are very, very unique and very different, but in terms of just the flat-out fact of a player standing up against the NCAA and utilizing an injunction to keep playing, you kind of brought to light for me that this was actually something really common in the 70s and 80s. You threw out Bruce Smith yesterday, who was the Outland Trophy winner and used an injunction to play in the Independence Bowl in 1984. I went back and saw Larry Gillard at Mississippi State played for three seasons using an injunction, and the Bulldogs ended up losing in Mississippi Supreme Court after the fact and had to forfeit all of the games that he played in. But from your standpoint, why do you think in modern collegiate athletics there was this change, or has been a change, of institutions shying away from this process that Memphis is diving into?
Well, I think there's a, you know, there's, you know, again, I'm not, and I don't know the real details. Like I say before, this is a young man that is filing suit. And, you know, the
the university is the one that determines whether or not they go, who they put on the court or the field or certify as eligible. And so, you know, there's been, I think, over time, you know, an understanding of what the rule is and whether it's clear and how it applies. And, you know, but there's constant lawsuits against applying eligibility rules. And, you know, arguably, if you look at the success rate of those lawsuits trying to establish eligibility, they have not been overwhelmingly successful for the students. And it just pushes, it kind of kicks the can down the road. And, oh, by the way, in between the 10 games that transpired now have a consequence, and is a bigger consequence for the university.
There's that idea of forfeited games, but also there's more. So what exactly is the university risking by continuing to play James Wiseman if he is indeed eventually deemed ineligible?
Well, I don't know if there's an easy way to answer that question. I mean, if at the end of the day it's deemed that he is not eligible, then you have the results of all those contests that came in. You also have, there'll be an evaluation of how much the institution was involved. You know, is it one of those kind of standing in the background, letting things play out, or whether they were, in fact, if they agree that an NCAA rule is involved, and you can have reasonable people disagree, you know, there's no penalty there. But, you know, again, what their position and posture has been and will be throughout the whole process. So those are all things that have to kind of play themselves out.
When you look at the facts of this case, where the booster in question, the booster who gave impermissible benefits, in question is one of the university's most famous alums who became a high school AAU coach who then becomes the university's head coach. I mean, just, we keep calling it a unique situation, but how unique is it? Have you ever seen anything close to this particular case? And how could this change how the NCAA treats something like this in the future?
Well, in one respect, it's not unique at all. Otherwise, there have been high school coaches that have, transitioned to being college coaches, oftentimes in the, as an assistant role, bring along their star player. I mean, that's
right.
That's happened all the time. You know, in this case, it's the head coach. This isn't really unique. And this would have been an issue, arguably, even if he hadn't enrolled at, because he was a booster. Coach Hardaway, before he became Memphis head coach, I mean, he's a representative of the university's athletic interests. You know, no question about that. And, it gets more complex as he transitions to being hired as the head coach and the young man enrolled at that institution. But there were legitimate questions going back when, just when the benefit was made to the young man's family.
The booster rule is key in this lawsuit, and there's been a lot of question about once you are a booster, you are a booster forever. In 2019, what is your interpretation of that? Is that something that could change down the line? Is that something that should change when you look at what constitutes a booster in 2019?
No, I don't think so. And plus, in the details of this one isn't even close. This isn't even a close question. There have been a lot of other cases where people have been classified as a booster on much different and much kind of more vague circumstances. But in Coach Hardaway's case, this is a textbook definition of a booster.
I think the thing that people have an issue with here, or one of the main things, is this idea that he became a booster. The time period between him becoming a booster and the impermissible benefit are separated by 9 years and a lot of circumstances in between that aren't always the case. Would there be any role for adjustment on how a booster, I guess, should a high school basketball, someone who goes on to become a high school basketball coach in a city who also happened to be a star athlete at the school they donated to, without question be a booster?
Yeah. And look at, there's thousands of those guys around the country. And you have guys that have, attained their booster status in the 60s. So there's, this whole thing is fairly, fairly recent. I mean, there's, look at all these guys, some of the more prominent, Magic Johnson at Michigan State, and, even Matthew McConaughey at Texas. I mean, there's ton of them. And it's well known. It is well known throughout the athletic industry that those guys that are still in the coaching ranks in the high school or the AAU programs have to be careful, and so this isn't somebody that came from some European country and played there and was a student at the university, but never, that nobody knew about. That's all just static going around here now about, is Coach Hardaway a booster? Yeah, he sure absolutely is.
As Memphis goes down this road, and they're obviously wouldn't be going down this road if they didn't think there was some kind of a win for them within the situation. From your perspective, what's the best case scenario for Memphis moving forward?
Well, I think you just have to, I think everyone needs to have a good faith evaluation of the facts and just let things play out as they may. You've thrown around like unique a number of times. It isn't that, I don't think it's that unique a situation.
Right.
If you distill down there's cases upon cases of similar things where benefits are bestowed on prospective student athletes in high school, and some, they're tied to university, and this isn't some unknown booster that no one at the university knew about. I think you just have to have, trust in the system and belief in the system, and everyone take a good faith explanation of where it goes, and let's see how it plays out.
We're talking with former Colonial Commissioner Tom Yeager, one-time chair of the NCAA Board on Infractions. Tom, before I let you go, and thank you so much for coming in here today and giving us a little bit more context from the NCAA side of things, and I do think it's important to strip away maybe the Memphis narrative of some of the uniqueness of this case and to boil it down and look at it as the facts laid straight out. Booster, impermissible benefit, this is what happened. You are now living that best retirement life outside of college athletics. And I think this is a tumultuous time for college sports, with the public
sure.
perception of the NCAA, with, 2 years ago, the FBI and college basketball, and just this last weekend, you have the number one player in college basketball and the number one player in college football, both dealing with eligibility issues. There's a lot of bad that circulates around college sports right now, but what do you see college athletics looking like maybe 5-10 years from now as we enter this next territory of college sports?
Well, first off, I think there's been a consistent over the years issues with some very high profile guys having issues. You used to have, did they sign with agents before bowl games and Final Fours and stuff like that? So you know, that's there. But getting back to it, I think that the concern I have is that we're getting further away from the university's mission and the fact of, you know, the students that are playing the sport that they love and where their athletic ability is helping them with their college degree. And, you know, that all of a sudden it becomes very, you know, we're getting there. Everybody's like in a rush to make money or do this. And it will go. You know, I mean, the young man could go. You don't have to enroll in an NCAA school. You know, if you want to use your basketball ability, go. You know, just go. But if you're going to be here, if you're going to be in the colleges working for your education, your degree, and I'm not – look, we got one-and-dones all over the place. But we also have hundreds of thousands that aren't. This is what the rules are. I think that, you know, you just need to, I think if you believe in the, in college athletics, that we need to stay close to the educational mission of our institutions and not just, claim that it's, you know, something else. The pros, God bless them, go ahead. You know, and you're going to be ultimately successful. Go right ahead. But this is what the landscape is here.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us today in Memphis. I so appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
That was Tom Yeager, former Colonial Commissioner and one-time chair of the NCAA Board on Infractions. I went into this telling you all that it was a perspective that you might not agree with. It was a perspective that you might not like to hear, but it is a perspective that is out there. And as we live in a time where the NCAA serves the role that it does, that is what we're fighting against, or not we, but that is what the University of Memphis is fighting against in this situation. It's a tough pill to swallow. And I think it's always challenging to hear the exacts and to hear kind of the mentality from the other side of, okay, you can dress this up in whatever way, shape, or form you want to in Memphis, with this being a situation where the NCAA is clearly out to get Memphis, right? Like that's the common refrain throughout this city. And whether there be any truth in that, yes or no, that's up for opinion, and that's up for debate, and that's certainly something that will continue to get talked about constantly and constantly here. But the University of Memphis is putting up a really big fight against an institution that A, is historically successful in these situations, and B, has created an environment where, right or wrong, and I'm telling you, I am here. I grew up as a child whose father worked in college sports. I grew up within the NCAA. My view, he is now retired as well, so it has opened me up for whatever I can have, whatever thoughts that I would like to have on that situation. And my thoughts have changed. I mean, if you were to go inside my brain and to see my thought process from 10 years ago to now, it has adjusted and it has become entirely different in how I view college sports as a whole. But unfortunately, this is the world we live in. And I made my sportscast on Local 24 over the weekend was this idea that the NCAA are like mom and dad. And they come in and they have a lot of rules. And a lot of rules, when you're growing up, you think rules are lame. And the one I used was making the bed. I hated making the bed. I still hate making the bed. Guess who didn't make the bed this morning? Me.
Jess.
It's me. I honestly probably haven't made my bed in like 6 months, which is really embarrassing. But the point being is that when you are living within a household and mom and dad make rules, they can make what rules they want and they can apply the rules the way that they want. And again, is that right? No, it's frustrating. It's an entirely frustrating situation. And when you look especially at this James Wiseman case, you want nothing more than James Wiseman on the court playing basketball as the number one player in the sport right now, and you want the University of Memphis to be able to compete through this season utilizing James Wiseman and potentially going after the, quote, championship season that their coach thinks they're capable of getting to. But mom and dad have these rules, and now they are flexing these rules, and whether that be fair or unfair, that is what they're doing. So when it's this whole rage against the machine and Memphis walking a blazing trail of fire behind them as they try to take out everyone, I do think it's important to remember exactly what they are up against.
I completely agree, and I think we should react to this when we come back.
I do too.
Until she went to Triumph Bank the other day, Naya had never set foot in a bank. Naya just graduated from Freedom Prep. She's been a big part of the inner city rugby program. Naya started making a little money from her job at Girls Inc., but she didn't even have a checking account. And that's where Triumph Bank stepped in to help. They set Naya up with a checking account and her very first debit card. They showed Naya how easy it is to do their online banking with their mobile app. Not only that, the folks at Triumph decided to work with Inner City Rugby to teach more young people like Naya about financial literacy so they can feel more confident and can start to build brighter financial futures for themselves. Naya is the first of dozens in the program who will benefit from Triumph's personal touch. You can benefit too, of course. Triumph offers that same personal touch to everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
I am the Liftmaster.
Well, if you really want to be a hero, join DoorPro and Liftmaster to help the Le Bonheur Children's Hospital Radiothon. DoorPro is an authorized dealer of Liftmaster, and for every new garage door installed this month, DoorPro will donate $25 to the Le Bonheur Radiothon. Free in-home consultations. Just call 901-DOORPRO or visit DoorProInc.com. DoorPro
and Liftmaster.
Be a hero. Call 901-DOORPRO today.
Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only.
I'm going to help you today. I'm going to do that by telling you it's not too early to book parties for the holidays at Bounty on Broad. Don't put it off until the last minute when you'll be scrounging around just to find a place. Bounty is a beautiful space with incredible food and can accommodate parties from 10 to 200 people. And here's the other thing you should know about Bounty. One reason the food is so delicious is that it's locally sourced. Bounty gets cheeses from Bonnie Blue Farms, beef from Home Place Pastures, and fresh produce from Old World Farms and Hannah Farms. And the folks from Bounty asked me to mention those small farms specifically because they're serious about supporting local farms to create a sustainable food community. Bounty on Broad is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. The website is bountyonbroad.com. Or just give them a call at 901-410-8131. That's 901-410-8131. And book your holiday party before everybody else.
This holiday season, give those on your holiday shopping list a gift of looking and feeling their best with a gift card from Massage Envy. Massage Envy gift cards are available in any dollar amount and can be used for massage, assisted stretch, and facial services, or for purchasing retail products. Massage Envy Spa, 4 Memphis locations, in Collierville at Carriage Crossing, at Poplar at Exeter, in Midtown on Union Avenue, and in Cordova on Germantown Parkway. It's not too late to feel better. Relax. It's Massage Envy.
Remember the first time you gathered the courage to ride the beast, climbing the stairs as it roared by, filled with anticipation, and one last chance to turn back? In life, obstacles can stop you in your tracks, but with a bank like First Horizon behind you with a deeper understanding of your path, you'll be amazed at your ability to rise above. See for yourself at First Horizon, the new face of First Tennessee, where understanding runs deep. Visit firsthorizon.com/leap.
The Christmas shopping season is just around the corner, and Cowboy Corner Boots and Jeans has lots of great items that would make terrific presents. Western boots and work boots are their specialty, and with over 4,000 pair and 20 different brands to choose from, you'll find just the right pair. Why order some boot brand you've never heard of when you can come to Cowboy Corner and pick out a pair of boots boots that you can see, touch, and try on. Since 1957, Cowboy Corner Boots and Jeans have been your source for boots and Western apparel for the entire family. 3698 Goodman Road in South Haven.
A heart in my Tasty Honey Nut Cheerios? Cereal, you trying to tell me you love me?
Actually, it's reminding you that it can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
Wait! They can help lower cholesterol? I've been so focused on the sweet, tasty taste that I completely forgot. Now I'm in love.
Learn more about making Honey Nut Cheerios part of your heart-healthy lifestyle by picking up a box at your local grocery store.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with special guest host Jessica Benson from Local 24 Sports.
We're still going to have a good day. Listen, I know that last segment was... it's not what you want to hear. And trust me, I understand that. I brought Tom on to present a side that you haven't heard from in this past week. And it's easy to get swept up in the positive narrative of Memphis blazing a trail of glory as they take down the NCAA. You, if you are listening to this and you are a Memphis fan, you probably disagree with a lot of what Tom Yeager just came on and said.
But you need to know what you're up against.
And I get it. I'm getting all these messages from people that, you know, mom and dad aren't consistent in enforcing the rules. That's a point. And that this guy is outdated. And
by the way, were your parents consistent in enforcing rules?
And for the most part, yeah. Mine were. I'm an only child. So, like, it's not like they had other siblings.
Okay.
I had to do everything.
Uh-huh.
Well, to a certain degree. This idea of this guy has outdated opinions and, you know, putting faith in the system. The thing is, the people who work for the NCAA, I can't speak on behalf of all of them, but a lot of them do have faith in the system, which is why this is a system that continues to operate in the way that it does.
Thank you.
For today, that is the system that Memphis is going up against. You might hate that system's guts. You probably do. But that is what they are going up against. That is the mentality. I hope I provided some semblance of, you're probably super unhappy, but just a little context
perspective,
there.
Yeah.
And you now have everything going in. And guess what? James Wiseman, he is probably going to play a basketball game tonight against a top 15 opponent, and we're going to see what he can do, and we're going to see what this Tigers team can do. And for now, he continues to play, and Memphis continues to do their thing, and that's where we're at. And I, for one, am very much looking forward to watching this game tonight. Are you going to watch it, Jeffrey?
Absolutely.
I think everyone in this city is going to watch it. I think a majority of people in the country are going to watch it because what is better television than a good basketball game, and B, the drama surrounding the number one player in the 2019 class and his school telling the NCAA, hey, guess what? We do what we want, and we're going to play our player, and we think we have a case. So just remember that today. And... remember what Memphis is up against. Go read Jeff's column. He'll be back eventually. Who's on here tomorrow? I don't even know.
Here's what's coming up next.
Just here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They're going to have Robbie Hummel. Of course, Robbie was the color analyst on Friday night's game against UIC. He will join them at 11:25 on Giannotto and Jeffrey. Mark will join us live from Portland at the Open. Keith Easterwood joins GP at 4:30, Jeff at 5 o'clock. On our show tomorrow, John Martin will join us, and Jeff will join us as well.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much for welcoming into your radios on this cold Memphis day. I'm out of here. I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Howie with Robert Irwin Jewelers, and every romance isn't the same, is it?
Well, just like every romance is different, every diamond is different, and that's what makes them unique and special, and that's why they're the ultimate symbol of love.
And you have all these different choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers, don't you?
Along with about 300 to 400 different engagement rings that are ready-made, ready to go. You can pick your own diamond at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can pick your own setting. We can put it together for you. So when you get down on one knee, she's going to give you a big yes.
And you have new choices in diamonds at Robert Irwin Jewelers, don't you?
It's called altar-created diamonds. And what those are, unlike traditional diamonds that are mined out of the earth, these are grown in a greenhouse.
So what's the difference?
It's chemically, optically, physically exactly the same. And the only difference is it's 30% less expensive, so you can get a bigger, brighter diamond.
You've done it again, Howie.
No. You've done it again.
Robert Irwin Jewelers is still the best place to get engaged.
And remember, we've got free financing, and we've got something for anybody's budget. Four locations or online at rijewelers.com.
Want your roof done right?
Well, yeah.
Then call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF. A-Team roofers are licensed contractors and doesn't cut corners. We have on-site supervisors, and we only hire and train the best.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
This is so nice. By just using code DELIVERY to get our groceries delivered for free from Walmart means there'll be no Thanksgiving shopping for us.
Goodbye hosting stress. Hello, recliner.
Wait, don't we have to pick up some guests from the airport?
Actually, I just ordered a ride for them.
So they're getting delivered too?
You could say that.
It's kind of like we're getting all of Thanksgiving delivered.
Delivery is the best.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.